Here's what Romans 13 and 11. If you don't have your Bible, just take a look at the screen, and it's up there for you. I read from the New King James Version. I hope they got that up there. If not, just understand the wording might be slightly different. But I chose this on purpose. Here's what it says. And do this, knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now, our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. Verse 12 says, the night is far spent, and the day is at hand. So, therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Today, I just want to preach to you for just a little while, just a few moments. I want to preach to you about the will to wake up. The will to wake up. I've prayed for this congregation here today. I don't always know who's going to show up. I don't always know who's going to be here. Church this size, it's a gamble. You just never know. We have guests every week. But here's what I do know. I prayed for you. If you're here today, I prayed for you. I prayed over every one of these pews. Prayed over this place because I think God has the intention. And it's His desire and will to shake and wake every person under the sound of my voice. Because the time demands it. If you'll look around, if you've ever wanted to pursue Jesus, you better get ready and do it. Because the times demand it. Would you lay your Bibles down, lift your hands to heaven? Let's ask the Lord to help us and speak to us today. Father, thank you, Lord. Thank you for these precious people that you have gathered together to hear your word today. I pray that nothing, Lord, would be amiss and nothing be out of place. I pray, Lord, that every heart, God, would just open up itself and allow the word of God to speak to it individually. Lord, that it would be more than just a few words that may come to the mind of a preacher, but that, God, it would explode into a work of the Spirit that would happen in every single heart and life right here today. I pray, Lord Jesus, that it would be much more than I could ever imagine. I pray, Lord Jesus, that the work of the Holy Ghost would happen in this place. And I give you praise in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Clap your hands to the Lord and let's praise Him together. Thank you for your word, Jesus. Praise God. The Lord bless you. You can be seated. I've got a slightly sensitive question to ask you today. How many of you, or maybe it's not, how many of you had trouble rolling out of bed today? Amen, amen. Some of you, I knew your hands were supposed to be up. I was looking for them. Amen. How many of you, maybe it wasn't today, but you've noticed, I've noticed this about myself. I really have. I don't know, and honestly, I don't mean to blame everything on everything, but in the last couple years after 50, I know I don't look it, but I'm over 50, okay? After 50, I have noticed that I need more sleep than I used to need. I used to, amen, come on, brother, I feel a witness. I used to just pride myself on going on very little sleep, and I could do everything I need to do, and just give me a couple hours to recharge, a few hours to recharge, and I could do it again. But I'm getting older, and here's what I've figured out. I like sleeping. I do. When I can do it and do it well, there is nothing better. Come on, don't you be a hypocrite. Amen me right now. There is nothing better than when your body is tired and you have spent the entire day. Come on, do you feel it? You spent the entire day and it comes time that time. My kids make fun of me because I've got an alarm on my clock that goes dun, 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 about 9:45 because I've got a little alarm that says, Brad, get ready. You're about to go to bed. Sleep is good. There's nothing wrong with sleep. Look at somebody and say, there's nothing wrong with sleep. God instituted rest. Rest. That was one of His top tens. Remember that? The Sabbath. The Bible said God worked for 6 days, and man, did He work. Look around you. He did awesome work. But on the seventh day, God, as a model, even unto us he rested. Somebody said it, rest and sleep is the best of both worlds. You get to be alive and a conscious at the same time. The other guy said, you know what? I'm so good at sleeping, I can do it with my eyes closed. But here's the truth. Do you know, as good as sleep is, as good as it might feel, as much as you may look forward to it, that you can actually sleep too much? Do you know that? You know that just as a lack of sleep can be a detriment to your body and your health and maybe even your job, that too much sleep can be a detriment to your body and your health and definitely your job if you can't get there on time. Somebody say amen. You can sleep too much. In fact, sleep can be dangerous. They say, things I've read, you know, the internet doesn't lie. Things I've read said that when you sleep too much, it actually, you can sleep yourself fat. No kidding. I kid you not. Obesity rates are higher to people that sleep longer. I'm not meaning to depress anybody right now, but you sleep too long, you can get headaches. Anybody? They say it causes back pain. They say that just as lack of sleep contributes to depression, too much sleep contributes to depression. They say, whoever they are, that you are more likely and more susceptible to heart disease when you sleep too much. Too much sleep can be dangerous. In fact, you can sleep yourself to death. They say that death rates are higher among those. Now, how much that is true, I don't know. But I do know this, that even in the natural, they say it can be dangerous. And I'm here to preach you and tell you, in the spiritual, it is equally as dangerous. You don't have to look too far in your Bible. Look in the story of Samson. And the Bible said this mighty man of God who had been used so greatly and he was a judge over Israel, did superhuman feats. He seemed invincible. But all it took was a few words that he should have kept to himself. Anybody know the story? He should have kept his power and his consecration to himself. A few words that he should have kept to himself. And a few moments of sleep on the lap of a woman he thought that loved him. But only to wake up and to find her tormenting him and turning him over to his adversaries. I'm here to tell you, sleep can be dangerous. Too much sleep can work against you. When we read Paul here, Paul is in a discourse. He's in this conversation with the church at Rome. And he's talking about a lot of different things. He's talking to them about how the Romans are ruling over them, and that even though they don't like that, that they need to give honor and respect for the rulers that are over them. He's talking to them about taxes, believe it or not. And he's saying, look, if you owe taxes, then you need to pay taxes and just go on about your business. Then he starts talking to them about loving one another. And he says, you know what? To love one another is the fulfillment of all the law. And then, as if there is an extra lightning bolt of inspiration, Paul interrupts this whole laundry list of things that he wants them to know. And he says, don't let me pass this up. Do this, knowing the time, that it is now high time to awake out of sleep, to shake yourself and wake yourself up. Because from the time that you started this journey, no matter where you're at today, from the time that you started believing in Jesus, that you started looking towards him, that you started to try to follow him, you are closer to the day of the Lord than you've ever been before. Paul said, you need to know what time it is. And because of what time it is, you need to wake up. Because our salvation is nearer than it's ever been before. Can I preach to you what Paul preached to me? Can I tell you that the days are such that the coming of the Lord is closer than it's ever been before? I'm here to warn somebody and maybe to tell us all and to shake us all and wake us up that we're not in some kind of ritual and lifestyle that just is here to be beneficial for the days of our lives. But we're on a journey to a promised land. We're on a journey to eternal life. I'm not here about this life. I'm not doing what I do because of this life. I'm living this life because there's another life to come. I'm telling somebody here today that the extent of your days, do not make up the most important thing that you should give your attention to. James told us, he said, our life is nothing but a vapor. It's like it's here one moment and it's gone the next. I'm preaching to somebody today and tell you, you won't live forever. I won't live forever, and Jesus is going to come back. And if we understand that, then it ought to change everything about us. There ought to be a sense of urgency to anybody that's trying to know Jesus. But the truth of the matter is, it seems, and maybe it's just my observation, that we live in a culture and a time in general where the knowledge and the fear of the Lord is gone. The understanding and the love for the Word of God, missing. It's time to wake up. It's time to shake ourselves, because there is no doubt. There's no doubt we live in dark times. Does anybody want to argue with that? I mean, you. Paul said this. He said, you know what a critical hour this is. Listen, my APC, my church friends, you've got to know. You cannot have your head that far in the sand not to know that we are living in critical times. That we are living in times where Satan and hell has pulled out all the stops. And it's not time to coast. It's not time to just mark our steps and do the same old, same old. I'm preaching to this church today. It's time to wake up. It's the hour. It's now. It's the moment. If you're ever going to do anything for Jesus, in Jesus, through Jesus, you better do it right now. When I was a kid, I mean, it doesn't take a lot of intellect to figure out whether it's dark or not, does it? Most of us can walk in a room and decide light or dark. When I was a kid, when the street lights came on, it was dark. When I was a kid, when the lightning bugs, I mean, I didn't need a watch. I just saw things blinking. And I said, hey, it's dark. Can I tell you, you don't need to be a prophet. You don't need to be studied in the end time, Alan. You don't need to have philosophies and theories about how things are going to play out. Just look around, because there are things that are grabbing. If you will open your eyes, there are events that are stirring this world. There are cultural shifts that are happening in this world. And the church, APC, you, me, all of us better wake up and realize the time is drawing short. And if we're going to do something, we better do it now. I mean, you know it's dark when common sense goes out the door. You know it's dark when the love of many wax worse and worse. You know it's dark when gender confusion fills our streets, our businesses, and even our schools. You know it's dark when government is in chaos and internal strife and can't even get anything done. You know it's dark when crime and evil increase like never before. You know it's dark when the financial economy slides towards a breakdown. You know it's dark when there are wars and rumors of wars, and that is prevailing in our headlines. You know it's dark when Israel gets attacked on every side. Oh, it's dark for sure. It's dark. Come on, depress somebody next to you and say, it's dark. Okay, now let's lift them back up. When it's dark, that's when the words of Jesus ring out sure, and they ring out truer. When he says, you are the light. You are the light of the world. You're a city that is set on a hill that cannot be hidden. Men don't take a lamp and put it under a basket. If they take a lamp and they put it on the top of a surface somewhere, and it gets light to everything around it. So he said, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. I don't care how dark it is. It just makes the church brighter and brighter and brighter. No wonder Paul said, we got to redeem the time because the days are evil. He said, the night is far spent. It's almost gone. He said, oh, it keeps getting darker. That's okay. That's okay. Because Paul said, it's almost gone. The night, it's high time to wake up. What's high time? High time is the hour. What hour? The hour. The hour when you got to move. The hour when you got to act. It's almost like Paul said, our appointment is here. Anybody ever had an appointment? It's like, well, I'm not waiting for it. Paul said, this isn't coming on the horizon. Paul said, the time is now. Somebody shout, now. He said, now it's high time. Your appointment is here. A wisdom writer wrote in Proverbs 6, he said, take a lesson from the ants. And one version said, you lazy bones. They learn their ways and become wise. They don't have a prince, they don't have a governor, but yet they labor all summer long and they gather food for the winter. How long will you sleep? How long will you sleep? Listen to the pastor today. How long will you sleep? When will you wake up? Or will you adopt it? Well, just give me a little extra sleep. Just a little extra slumber. Let me fold my hand just a little bit longer. He said, scarcity, and those folks will attack them like a robber. I realize that the context here is certainly pertaining to work ethic, no doubt in my mind. It's certainly pertaining to a physically lazy person, but I don't know that it's that far of a stretch to pertain it or put it in context with a spiritually lazy person. Here's what the ants know. The ants know what I'm doing now is going to affect something later. So if I'm going to get something later, I better do something now. I'm preaching to you today. Whatever you've intended, maybe you intended to step into a ministry. Maybe you intended to finally get your heart right with God. But whatever it is you're going to do, you better do it now because it's going to affect your forever. It's high time. Now. Your appointment is now. Your alarm is going off. Listen to me. I wish I could have it right now. I wish somehow I could have programmed every one of your phones to go off right now. Because right now is when your appointments happen. It's high time. It's high time for fathers to lead their families. It's high time for mothers to care for their families. It's high time for husbands and wives to stop fussing and fighting and distracting their families and the church with their marriages instead of letting his servanthood prevail their relationship and loving and serving one another and their marriages being a glory unto God and the work of his kingdom. It's time. When does that need to happen? Oh, we're working on it. No, it needs to happen right now. We need saints right now, somebody say now, that are doing more than just existing in the church. They probably should have waited to do pastor appreciation. We need more than people just going to warm these pews in here. I'm so glad for this crowd, and I pray for more of it. I pray we have multiple churches, but let me tell you, I don't want multiple churches. God doesn't need multiple churches of people that do nothing. He needs a church that'll be a light on a hill. People that are saying, I'm not waiting till tomorrow. I'm going to do it now. I'm not going to serve tomorrow. I'm going to do it now. I'm not going to wait to come to Jesus. I'm going to do it now. Because the night is far gone. It's high time for people to pray. It's high time for givers to give. It's high time to really start loving people. Last week, there was a lady that came to me in our service, in our revival service. And she said, Pastor, I have a word for you. And usually that means like a thought. And so I braced myself because I thought, okay, I'm going to get a little Bible study here. And she looked at me and she said, compassion. And I did what you're doing. I said, oh, okay. Okay. And then she walked away. And I thought, oh, okay. Nate, I thought I was compassionate. I did. I thought I was compassionate.
and just without telling you a big old story that'll take a lot of time, let me just tell you, the Lord has showed me multiple times this week my lack of compassion. Because, not because I don't like people, but because I'm busy. I've got plans. I've got family. I've got all these things. But then I just hear that woman's voice saying, compassion, compassion, compassion. I don't think it's by accident that Paul spent a little time saying, look, if you really want to love people, you got to understand that's everything that Jesus was come for. He fulfilled the law. The fulfilling of the law was the love of God. And when you love people like God loves you, you fulfill the entire purpose of Jesus coming. The night is far gone, and the day is almost here. He said, let's drop. Let's fling away the works and the deeds of darkness and put on the full armor of light. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let's cast off works of darkness. In one word, he said, so remove your dark deeds like dirty clothes. I'm preaching to somebody today, and I'm not trying to be funny. You got dirty clothes on. And you've been walking around like they're clean and they're pressed and they're new. I don't care how pressed they are. Dirt is dirt. And if God is not pleased, God is not pleased. If you think he's going to sit there and say, oh, it's different for you. Honey, listen to me. You're being deceived. It's time to throw off the dirty clothes and the rags that are not like him and put on the whole armor of God's light and God's truth. Why? Because the night is far spent. The day is at hand. So in Ephesians, he says, walk as children of light. In verse 13, he says, let's walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, not in lewdness and lust, not in strife and envy. Walk, everybody say, like it's day. It's tough to walk like it's day when it looks like it's night. Amen. Because the natural tendency, I'm going to tell you what happens when it gets dark. I can't drive after dark, Nate, because something happened to me when I turned 50, and I can't drive when it's dark anymore. Every time I got to drive late, I take somebody to drive with me. Anybody that knows me, some of you nodding your head, you know, you don't let Pastor drive after dark, he'll kill you. Because there's a natural tendency in my body that when it looks dark, to act like it's dark. Anybody else? Anybody get tired when it's dark? This time of year when it's dark at like 3 o'clock? Do you start and say, well, it's about 5 now, time to head for bed, right? Why? Because there's something in your body that reacts to the culture around you. And if you're not careful, you will override what the Spirit is trying to do in you and for you and through you. And you will react to the culture around you. But the devil is a liar. There's a voice coming over your pulpit today that's saying, wake up! Wake up! Stir yourself. Walk like it's day, even though it looks like night. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Make no provision for the flesh. Stop making a way for your flesh to lull you to sleep. Because a lot of what puts us to sleep, you go ahead and blame it on the devil, but it ain't the devil, it's you. You go ahead and blame it on circumstance, but it's not. It's because you've left the door open. Chances are the places that we struggle are not somewhere where we just began to struggle. We've struggled in them in a long time. The places that lull us spiritually to sleep, that's not a new thing. It's a place we've allowed. It's an avenue, a conduit that we've allowed into it. And Paul said, you got to cut that thing off. You got to cut off the making provision for the flesh. Walk like it's daytime. Full light of day, like everybody can see you, because everybody does. And I've been known to toss a few mattresses. Any parents ever tossed a mattress before? Y'all don't know what I'm talking about? Anybody ever had a sleeping teenager that wouldn't get out of bed? Yeah, I won't name names. But I've been known to walk into a bedroom, lift up that mattress, and dump a full-fledged body out on the floor and say, time to get up! Can I tell you, that's the word picture that comes into my mind about everybody here? Because I feel like there's some folks that say, oh, yeah, he preached about waking up, got to wake up. But I'm going to tell you, God didn't come just to say, hey, son, time to get up. Smell the bacon, time to get up. Come on, you're going to be late. That's not the word. That's not the word the Lord is saying. I'm telling you, with all the kindness of a parent, he's willing to walk into your room today and pick you up by the mattress and dump you out and say, if you're going to do anything, you're going to do it now. It won't be because I didn't shake you. It won't be because I didn't tell you. It won't be because I didn't try to move you. Somebody say, wake up! There's a quote that says, when you wake up and smell the coffee, it's hard to go back to sleep. And if you will shake and wake yourself today, here's what I promise you. You will never be the same. You'll never walk. You'll walk out of here different if you let God shake you today. You'll walk out of here with a different mind, a different attitude. Your priorities will be different if you let God shake you here today. Your outlook will be different if you let God shake you here today. Because God's intention for all of us is that we be a chosen generation. A royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar or special people that show the praises of him who has called us where? Out of and into his. It can be dangerous, though, for a person. And let me just talk, this isn't everybody, but I end today and just talk to maybe a few that I'm assured from the Lord and feel confirmed in the Spirit that this needs to be heard by you. It can be dangerous for a person who thinks they're awake when they're not. Probably the most dangerous. They say that sleepwalkers can really put themselves in predicaments. Now, that condition is mostly prevalent in children, from what I've read, but can also affect adults. And the crazy thing is they can be 100% asleep, but they can do anything from just sitting up in bed and talking to getting dressed and fully asleep, even leaving the house and driving a vehicle. Asleep, but not knowing it. There's a danger in thinking you're awake when you are not. It kind of sounds like what Jesus said about the Laodicean church in Revelation 3. For you say, I'm rich and I have prospered, I've grown wealthy, and I am in need of nothing. And he said, here's the tragedy. You do not realize, nor do you understand, that the truth of the matter is you are wretched, you are poor, you're pitiful, you are blind, and you are naked. This is the result of spiritual sleep. You're walking into a church, but nothing's happening. You're going to all the events, but nothing's happening. There's no ministry. There's no life. You're clapping your hands. You're singing the songs, but nothing's going on. You're able to blend in with everybody else, but the truth of the matter is there's nothing going on the inside. Hear me today. Please understand me. With a voice, I pray of mercy. Wake up! Not because I need some results. Not because we need better numbers. But because the Lord is coming. Because the day is at hand. Darkness is about done. And the light is coming. So here's my question today. Just pointed. What's your spiritual condition? Really? Really? Are you living for God? I didn't ask if you were coming. Obviously, you're here. Are you living for God? Have you obeyed the gospel? Have you repented of your sins and turned your life to Jesus? Have you been buried in the name of Jesus in the waters of baptism? Have you received the gift of the Holy Ghost? Because Jesus wasn't kidding when he said, except the man be born again of the water and of the Spirit. I'm so thankful for the scores of people that have been baptized this year. But there ain't been enough people getting the Holy Ghost yet. And from what I read in my Bible, it's not just baptism that shows you the kingdom of God. It is the infilling and the outpouring of the Holy Ghost in a person's life that shows you the kingdom of God. I want to see his kingdom. Well, I'm working on it. No, now. Is your heart right with God? Are you compliant or are you consecrated? Because there's difference. Are you present or are you dedicated and sold out? Are you just involved or are you truly invested in God's kingdom? Now, the truth of this is you don't have to say a word. I don't have to discern or judge. God knows all these answers. Yes, he does. And he's here today. That makes my job so easy. Thank you, Jesus. Because the last thing I'd want to do is line you all up and say, you're good, I think you're all right, and you're all right. Oh, that would exhaust me. And I'll tell you what, Paul Frazier, I'd get it wrong. I'd surely call somebody good that wasn't good, and I'd surely call somebody bad that wasn't bad. I don't want that kind of job, but here's what I'm going to tell you. Just because a man can't point it out in your life doesn't mean that God somehow has no idea of what's going on. There is an eternal Father. There is a power. There is a God in this universe that knows the very number of the hairs of your head. He knows the thoughts and the intents of your heart. And so I stand with Paul today just to do my job, to stand as a watchman on the wall for us and say, do this, understanding the time, the critical hour. Understand that it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day's at hand. And because of it, let's cast off, throw off the dirty clothes and put on Jesus. Would you stand with me here today? From what I understand, everybody here has an internal of sorts, an internal clock in your body. And I'll see if I can get this right. There's a place in your brain called the supraschematic nucleus. Let's just call it the SCN for short. The SCN, this part in your brain, is very sensitive to signals of dark and light. And the optic nerve in your eyes senses the morning light. And then that area of your brain triggers the release of certain hormones or chemicals, and you wake up. It's not just magic. You don't decide anything. There's a process going on in your body. And they say that this is the most healthy, natural way to do it. I thought about getting into our alarm clocks, but I knew I'd make some of you mad. Nobody likes alarm clocks, do you? But they say that's actually, it's a way to wake up, and it can train you, but it's probably one of the more unhealthy ways to wake up because it jars you. And God made your body to wake up on its own, that when it sees light, it sees light. Your body just naturally wakes up. Now, you know what? The Bible says that some will be saved by fear and some by fire. And I know plenty of people that have finally got their act together when tragedy struck their life. They finally got their act together when something bad happened and said, you know what? This woke me up. This finally got my attention. They come. I know plenty of stories like that, but can I tell you that the best way for you to wake up is the way that God intended. For you to naturally, there's a part inside of you. If you will open yourself up, there is something in the makeup of humanity that knows its need for God. It's what caused the multitudes in Acts chapter 2, after Peter preached to them the message of a gospel and said, you've taken and you've slain your Messiah. The Bible says what? They were pricked. They were moved upon in their heart. The old timers used to say, it's conviction. It's something that tells you, I know it's not right. I don't even need that preacher to tell me, because when everybody's done, when the lights are turned off, when I lay my head down at night, I know exactly what my spiritual condition is. And the truth of the matter is, in moments, ever so slight may they be, in moments of honesty, we realize this world is wrapping up. It's what makes you up naturally. And this is I'm praying for you to wake up naturally today. I'm not, please, don't get me wrong. I'm not prophesying doom and gloom on anybody. I'm trying to preach to you. I'm trying to preach to that one little part of your spiritual brain. I'm trying to bring light into the optic nerve of your spiritual life and say, look, daylight's coming. The day's coming. The day of the Lord is coming. You need to wake up right now. It's time. It's not, you don't need to hit the snooze. How many of you are snoozers? Raise your hand. Come on, I'm gonna make you do it. Raise your hand. I am. I live most mornings with this motto. The first thing that comes to my mind, two things. First of all, I love you, Jesus, honestly. I love you, Jesus, and 9 more minutes. And let's just say there's a few days where I love the Lord a lot, first thing. Say snooze. Jesus told a story. He said there was a man that made a great supper, and he invited many. But when his servant was sent out to bring them to the supper, the Bible said every single one of them began to make excuses. If I say snooze, excuses. One said, I bought land. I'm busy. I've got a major transaction. I got a big deal going on. I mean, I appreciate the supper and everything, but just pardon me to be excused. Maybe next time. Another said, I just bought a new yoke of oxen, and I got to go evaluate them, make sure it's okay. I've got business to take care of. I've got things to do. Everybody say snooze. A third said, I married a wife. No jokes inserted. I've married a wife, and you know, we got to spend time together. It's not a good time for us right now. Maybe not. Everybody say snooze. The truth of the matter is, Jesus painted for us centuries later, painted for us the very same thing that happens to you, maybe even on a daily basis, where the power and the Spirit of God, maybe it's a thought, maybe it's a prayer, maybe it's a circumstance, maybe it's something you heard, it's a podcast, maybe you're in a church on a Sunday morning and that preacher won't shut his mouth. And you feel the tug of God. It's not fake. It's not drummed up. It's not emotion. You know, something needs a change in me. And already, you know what you're doing in your mind? You're coming up with all the excuses why you don't need to come to an altar. You don't need to pray to God. You don't need to make a change right now. That guy ain't going to talk me into anything. I'm not going to do it. You know what you're doing? You're just pressing that snooze. And honey, listen, if you want to press it, I pray God gives you years to snooze and make excuses. But I've got a word for you today that said today is your best chance, that it's high time for you to wake up, for you to get out of slumber and get out of your spiritual bed. I wonder today, that's enough. I wonder today, is there somebody that just says, I need to shake myself? Let me just tell you, let me take off all the pressure. Here's one guy that needs to shake himself. There's one guy that's pastoring a church. I got grandchildren. I got kids. I got people that are dependent on me, and I believe that there is a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. And when I look around this world, the last thing I want to do is start coasting or giving in or saying I've done enough. No, now is the time. It's time for Brad Nave to wake up. So here I am in the altar. Is there anybody else that'll judge? Anybody like me? Anybody? I don't care what your spiritual condition is. I can't imagine a one of us that couldn't take a shaking today, that couldn't wake up a little bit more. Come on, take your excuses and throw them away like a dirty coat and say, I'm going to put on all the light and the armor of Jesus in my life. Come on. Come on. Would you wake yourself up? Come on. Shake yourself at an altar today. It won't hurt you. It won't hurt you to be honest with God about who you are and what you're doing and what you're not doing and who you aren't. Come on. Would you come? Come on. The altars are filling. We ought to just fill this place. Say, oh, Pastor, I just can't go up there. Then right there where you're at. Right there where you're at. Come on, I dare you to lift your hands and say, Lord, just pray that simple prayer. Lord, I want you to shake me. I want you to shake me, Lord. I can look around this world and see what a critical time it is. This world needs your light. Needs me, God. Come on, would you devote yourself? Come on, maybe you've been on the fringe. God says, I want you in the middle. Maybe you've got tired of even seeking all that God has for you because it hasn't come in your timeline. You become frustrated. Listen to me. God is not a liar that he would not come clean and true on his promises. Come on, that's it. That's it. Cry out to him. Cry out to him. Give everything. Everything. Has he got everything that you have? Has he got all that you have? Does all that you are, is all that you are belong to him? Come on, wake up. Wake up. It's high time. You don't need to sleep another minute. Come on, you'll never be the same. You won't be sorry. You won't be sorry. Come on. Let's seek him. Let's seek him.